As we prepare this word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you provide for us. Thank you for the provision that Jesus gives. Thank you especially for the word of God and the blessing that it is to us. Lord, please open my lips to hear, to speak your word, and open our hearts to hear and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. If you get distracted, or if you want to pass a sermon on to other people, it will be up on the on my sometime during this week. So, the feeding of the 5,000, a well-known miracle. In fact, the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that is found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That indicates to me that it's pretty important. There's something really important and vital going on as Jesus feeds 5,000 people. If you're anything like me and my daughter Rebecca, the first question that comes to mind when I hear this Bible reading is, how? How did Jesus do it? When was the bread multiplied? Was it as he was breaking it, there just happened to be more and more? How did it happen? And as a physicist and as a background with someone with a background in science, that's a question that's right up there for me. How? Well, we'll get to that in a little bit, but you'll have to listen. First of all, though, I want to have a look at the feeding of the 5,000 through a number of characters who are involved with this, with what happens here. First of all, we have Philip. Now, I think Philip is like an economist. He's doing the maths in his head. He's going, 5,000 people divided by about 8 months' wages, 200 denarii. Even then, we're not going to have a whole lot. It's not going to work. Philip is saying, nah, this is just not humanly possible. So in John chapter 6, verse 5, we hear this. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Now, whatever else you might say about Philip, that he's a bit of a pessimist or whatever, he certainly worked this out pretty quickly. I think that Philip has what I would call an attitude of scarcity. And that goes like this. There's only so much to go around. And that little bit is going to be divided between these many, many people. And all of us are not going to get very much, even if we had the money. Next, we have Andrew. And Andrew is a bit of an optimist. And Andrew comes into the story like this. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many people? So Philip sees 5,000 people, and he sees 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he thinks that there is maybe a possibility. He's a bit of a pessimistic optimist in that he doesn't actually think that Jesus can do it, but at least he brings the boy to Jesus. The boy has an attitude of generosity. It's hard to believe, and maybe he wasn't the only person who had brought some food with him on this day, but he's the one who offers what he has to Jesus. It's like, well, I could keep this for myself, but I'm going to offer it to Jesus to see what he can do with it. And I characterize that as an attitude of generosity. Here you go, Jesus. Here's what I have. It's not very much, but you can do what you want to do with it. Jesus, the Son of God, has an attitude of thankfulness. He has an attitude of trust, and as we will see, he has an attitude of abundance. Jesus says, make the people sit down. He takes the loaves, gives thanks, and then starts to distribute them to the people. Now, that's really key here. Jesus is thankful for the tiny little gift that the boy is bringing. He gives thanks to God for it. Jesus knows that God is the one who provides all that we need. God's been doing it since day dot. And he knows, he trusts, that God will provide in this circumstance as well. Then Jesus gets his disciples to distribute the bread and the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, it says in verse 12, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Now, the Greek for left over is actually abundance. Gather the overflowing pieces, the bits that are more than what we need, and let nothing be wasted. How does Jesus do it? How does Jesus make this tiny meal into enough bread and fish to feed 12,000 or more people? There were 5,000 men, so there were probably quite a lot more people in total. The miracle happens in the thankfulness and in the distribution. And when you think about it, Jesus, as the Son of God, is only doing what God has done every single day since the beginning of creation. That is, providing all that we need, providing people's daily bread. The miracle takes place in and around Jesus' thanksgiving and distribution to the people of what has been given to him. Now, I have seen this over and over. When people have an attitude that all that we have comes from God, and I will give to God what little I have in order with it, miracles happen. I've seen this in terms of mission trips, where people have given generously and sacrificially of their time and their money, and you look at it and you go, the resources here are not enough. It's not going to work, if you're thinking with the economist mind of Philip. From a human point of view, there's no way that we can do what we're setting out to do. And yet somehow, it comes through. It happened to me when I went to Uganda a number of years ago on a short-term mission trip. I looked at my finances and I went, there's no possible way that I can do all the things that I need to do on this trip with the finances that are available. In the week before I was about to leave, a family from church came around to our house. They gave me an envelope. It was simply written on the front, was written for Uganda, and inside was $1,000. And it was exactly enough. The very day that I left Uganda was the very day that the money ran out. I've seen it here in Pakenham with the Four C's. One pastor started with a vision to be able to provide food relief and financial aid for some of the people who are doing it tough in Pakenham. That was a number of years ago. Now the Four C's distributes over 500 tons of food per year. That's 10 tons a week. They help thousands of people in this shire, literally. And they always seem to have enough. Because what they have, they know comes from God. And they have an attitude of trust that God will provide. I'd like to ask, what are your 5 loaves and 2 fishes? You might be here tonight thinking, I've really got very little resources. Very little that I can give to God, whether that be in a time sense or an emotional energy sense or in a financial sense or whatever. But Jesus takes what we have, which is already a gift from God. He gives thanks for it. He breaks it, and he gives it, he offers it back to the Father in order to do something for others. I'd like you to take just a minute or two to turn to someone near you and just have a brief conversation about what do you think might be among your five loaves and your two fishes. What do you think are some of the small resources that you have from God that you could offer back to God? So, quick, have a conversation. Find someone to have a bit of a chat to about that. I'll go back over to... Yeah, we are. I've been feeling very much like that lately. Like, I have so little. Like, it's really not very much. And yet, I think that there's just the willingness to be generous to my family, I think, is probably amongst it. And also then just the whatever skills I do have, like whether it be preaching or being friendly and welcoming to people. I think that's probably about all that I've got at the moment. Yeah.
I'm just a general help it, fix it, handyman, basically. That's pretty much all I've got. Anything I can do with these.
Okay. So among your five loaves and two fishes are your two hands. And that can actually be immensely helpful sometimes for people. I know for us in our situation, just people coming over and helping with housework, like we've had so little energy. And so for someone to come and help clean house is just like, oh, that's a lifeline to us. Or for people to cook a meal for us, just really practical things. Yeah. So never underestimate the power of practical kind of help for people. Yeah. Oh, I want some of that bread. I'm so hungry. Yeah, it is right through there. Okay, everyone. Maybe you've been able to work out what's among your five loaves and two fishes. The truth that comes really powerfully through the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is this. And some of you who are in our missional communities will recognize this. The truth is that God is good. So I don't need to look elsewhere for my satisfaction. God is the one who provides everything that I have and everything that I need. And God gives us what we need to do what God wants us to do. I've heard it said that God plus one equals a majority. I like that saying. Or God plus five loaves and two fishes equals a feast. If you're looking for your satisfaction elsewhere other than in what God can provide for you, you will never find it. Saint Augustine famously said, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." There's a hunger in our hearts for something that can only be satisfied by God. And Jesus gets into this in John chapter 6, verse 25, which wasn't part of the reading tonight. So after Jesus gives the bread and the fish to people, the people come looking for him. And they say, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Only Jesus can satisfy the spiritual hunger that exists in each one of us. And beyond the physical hunger that he deals with in the loaves and the fishes, as you read through John 6, you find out that Jesus is saying that he is the bread of life. He is the one who fills our soul hunger, our desire for intimacy and life with God. And Jesus is the only one who can fully satisfy this. In John 6, verse 28 to 33, Jesus says these words. Then they asked him, "What must we to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they said to him, "What miraculous sign will you give that we can see it and believe in you?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who's given you bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life for the world." And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Once we know and trust that God is good, that he not only provides for our physical needs, but also satiates our spiritual hunger, we can move from scarcity to abundance. We can know that God can provide more than we can possibly use for ourselves, and we can be generous with others. We can move from fear to thanksgiving, from selfishness to generosity. We no longer need to keep our 5 loaves and 2 fish to ourselves in case that's all we get for the day. We can actually offer it to Jesus in order to give it away to others. All that I have comes from God. Thank you. Including this beautiful drawing through Lawson. Thank you, Lawson. All that I have comes from God. God takes what he has already given me as I offer it back to him, and Jesus does something miraculous with it for the sake of others. What are your 5 loaves and 2 fish? How might the gracious Jesus want to give thanks for your small gifts and use them for God's glory for the sake of others? That's the question that I'd like to leave with you at the end of the sermon tonight. All that you have comes from God. He provides all your needs. He fills your spiritual hunger through Jesus, and he takes what you offer and uses it for the good of the world around you. In the name of Christ. Amen.